All right, let's begin. We're up to Perek Beis. Perek Beis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Gav, a new Perek, a new topic, page 244. Page 244, this Perek is all about Yemois HaMashiach. A very beautiful description, the vision of Yemois HaMashiach. Every time we talk about Yemois HaMashiach, it's always very, very worthy if we would compare. There are all of the Nevi'im, many of the Nevi'im, they speak in very great detail what the world will be like in the times of Moshiach. And that includes Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, and now we have Yoel. And Yoel, we have Sheol also, and it's very interesting if we will be able to compare the description of each Navi relative to the description of their contemporaries or the description of Nevi'im from other times. So here, let's take it one thing at a time. The Hoya, it's going to be Achareichein, afterwards. This means after this famine, on a very simple level, the famine comes to an end, the locusts disappear, and it rains. So Hashem here uses this very powerful word of Eshboich. I will pour out Esruchi al kol basar. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. V'nibu'u b'neichem. And your children, your daughters, will become prophets. Ziknechem, your elders, chalaymos yacha loymun. They will dream dreams. That's a very interesting concept, to have a dream. It was last week's parsha, a Navi Sheker. A Navi Sheker has a chaloym, and he tells you about an idea he had in a dream that we should worship other gods. And the pasuk goes on to say, do not listen to him. And in this week's parsha, we also have a topic of dreams. Maybe we're going to do tomorrow, the next day. I have a very nice, came across a very nice article summarizing the major concepts of dreams. And in fact, I have at home a whole sefer. It's like double the size of this volume on dreams. And I think it's too much to go through in this shiur, but maybe this article, it touches upon the major concepts of dreams. Maybe
we'll...
Isn't that something you've mentioned before?
We never really spent a lot of time on it. Okay, well, maybe we'll see. But over here in this passage, we'll see from the first one, they talk about dreams, chalemus, yachalemun, a double expression. Bachureichem chezyonois yiru, and your young men will see visions. Now, there's a lot of verbosity, there's a lot of expression here in this pasuk. Before we'll do one more pasuk, we'll come back to this. Gam al ha'avodim bi'al hashvachos. Over here it says, not only will HaKadosh Baruch Hu pour out his prophecy, his spirit upon the young men and the young women and upon the zikenim. Notice it does not say the zikenois. It only says the zikenechem, your elders. You'll tell me, well, the word zikenechem, being that it's plural, includes men and women. However, it's not parallel to b'neichem uvno seichem. Because when it says b'neichem, you can also say it includes men, boys, and girls. Yet the pasuk divides it up into two, boys and girls. So you would expect when it says zikenechem, zikenechem, uzikenois, there should be a parallel. Yet there is no parallel here in regard to the older women. So we have to see why that is so. And then it describes the different types of dreams. With regard to ziknechem, the term is a chaloim. With regard to a bachor, the term is a chezyoin, a chizoyoin. That obviously opens up for us a world of interpretation, a whole world to appreciate the difference between a chizoyoin and a chaloyin. Because we do know, we've come across this many, many, many times, there are 10 different words, as the Medrash says, there are 10 different words used throughout Tanakh to describe the concept of a vision or a prophecy or some type of supernatural revelation. And two of those words include a chaloyim and a chizoyoyim. And there are many interpretations which one is the most intense, which one is more practical for us today. And here it's interesting that in part of that discussion, you cannot ignore the fact that here in Sefer Yoel, the word chaloyim is used in reference to a zokain, and the word chizoyoin is used in reference to a bachur, to a young man. And it obviously opens up the idea is that a chizoyoin is something that's further down the road, because the bachur has a long way to go yet. A zokain is at the end of his life.
Somehow less powerful or less sophisticated, since presumably the elder has more wisdom.
So we would assume it's just the opposite. Being that he has more life experience, his revelation is more intense. And maybe it is. Maybe a chaloyim indeed is more intense. And when it's we have to play with this.
Is there a dream that such a thing as a chalom, it's not a nevuah, it's just a plain subconscious.
Roiv chaloimois, Chazal say, are total nonsense. And in fact, the sefer that I have was very disappointing. It's a very chashuv sefer. And after I spent years ago a lot of time on that sefer. When you finish the sefer, basically you walk away is that there is no such thing in our day and age as a dream that has any significance whatsoever. That's a very tough pill to swallow, because we've all been brought up with many, many stories of things happening in the recent times, especially during the Holocaust and the years of the war, where people had dreams, and those dreams did have major significance. And everyone in their own life will tell you that they had a dream, and they can't tell you for sure, but their heart tells them that this was something supernatural. Yet, according to Chazal, this book that I have, the Sefer, it's a very choshev Sefer, where he really traces all of the sources, everything rooted in halacha, in the words of the Gedolei Yisrael. According to the rules, we are today, in our generation, we are so far removed from a supernatural, an opening to Shemayim, that it's even possible for us to, at least according to the words of Chazal, that we should be able to have some type of vision and insight into what's doing in the other world. However, okay, you can tell me what it says in the Svarim.
When Rami says chalom, that implies that Nebuah is not just some night.
No, a chaloim is one of the 10 words of prophecy.
Right, so it's a prophecy.
It's a real prophecy.
So when they're using that word, it means something.
Correct. When they use that word, it means the real deal. It means a vision. It means a revelation of what is taking place in the other world, in the Olam HaEmes, the Olam of the Neshamas, which, well, these things are so far beyond our understanding. It's just even hard to translate. But people will tell you. And I know in my own family. My mother had an uncle, and he was in the Holocaust, and he was already in the morgue. He was already with all the dead bodies, and he was lying there, and he had a dream. His mother came to him in a dream and told him, his name was Mendel, and told him, Mendel, get up and jump over the wall. Mendel, get up and jump over the wall. And in his dream, he said to his mother, I can't. I don't have the energy, the strength. And she said to him, I'm telling you, you must do this. Get up and jump. And he opened up his eyes. He got up and used his supernatural strength to somehow jump over the wall that he was together with dead bodies. He was there in a collection area of where the Nazis, they put all the dead bodies. And there was some type of a wall. And he got up and he climbed over the wall and he lived. And he came to America and he married. He didn't have children. He died without children. He died like 10 years ago. He was buried in Lakewood. And he had a very productive life. It's said he didn't have children. But he attributes his life all because of that dream. So what are you going to tell me? There's no such thing as having a dream in our day and age. I have a family member who will testify, you know, that there is such a thing to it. Okay, so this is yeah, we have to come and see what this means in a few moments. But okay, well, it is what it is. Pasuk Beis tells about even on the Avodim, V'al hashvachos bayomim hahema eshpoich esruchi. I will pour out my spirit. Pasuk Gimel. V'nasati mavsim. What?
These are non-Jews.
No, must be Jewish. These are avodim ivrim and avod ivrim and an omer horvriya. So you'll say to me, wow, does that really mean in the times of Mashiach they're going to be Jewish slaves? Can it really be such a thing like that? That in the time of Moshe Mashiach, there's going to be a person is going to be a Jewish slave? Everyone should be independently wealthy. People should have a dignified parnasa. There should be a Jewish slave. So what then will you say? No, we're dealing with a Shifra Kenanis and Eved Kenani. Really? Hashem is going to inspire them, give them prophecy? So we have to see what this means in a few moments. Let's just keep just open up this topic with Pesukim, Pasuk Gimel. V'nosati mavsim bashamayim uvaretz. In the times of Mashiach. Exactly right. We say that there. This is a Pasuk Kof. Exactly. This is excellent. Right out of the Agada. V'nosati mavsim bashamayim uvaretz. Dom v'esh v'simrois oshan. Okay. We take the wine. And we pour wine when we say these three things. So over here it's in the future tense. That just like in the time of Mitzrayim, there were these three things. There was Dom, Vo'esh, Vissimrois, Oshon, columns of smoke. In the future, these three things will appear once again. Let's go through the Mitzudos and these Shripsuk, and then we'll go through the Farshim one at a time. Pasuk Aleph, Paragimel, back on page 245. On page 245, we'll do the three pesukim first, and the mitzudos and Rashi, and then we'll go slower. V'hoya acharei chen. The mitzudos says, "Return to Lemar achar yom rubim b'zman haMashiach." So he learns not like I translated when I read you this pasuk. I translate after the locusts disappear after the 7 years of famine are over. After what we've learned in the previous pasuk, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm going to do wondrous things. I'm going to cause it to rain even in the summer, and you're going to plant, and it's going to grow. A crop will grow in 11 days, and you'll have what to eat." So we would expect that when it begins the next perek, and we describe the blessing that will come to Klal Yisrael in this time, is referring to that period of time back in the days of Yoel. Even the Mitzudais, who normally chooses to learn the psukim according to the simplest translation here, obviously because the fact that it says it's going to be prophecy, and we do not find back in history during the time of the Aseres HaShvatim to whom he was prophesizing to, we do not find that the average Joe, the Bineichem, Uvnoiseichem, the Zignechem, and the Avodim and the Shvachos had prophecy. He therefore has no choice but to say that this pasuk cannot, even with the simplest interpretation, be referring to the time of Yoel, the time when he is prophesizing regarding the locust, the famine that took place in the land of Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Aseres HaShvatim. Especially that we know that the Aseres HaShvatim were not from the big tzaddikim. There were many, many problems in the fact that they went into exile not much later than the time that Yoel spoke to them. So therefore, he has Mitzudo says that what time are we discussing? We're discussing the time of Yemos HaMashiach, Ritzoin Loimar, Achre Yomim Mirubim, Bizman HaMashiach. What's going to happen? Eshtoich Es Ruchi, Ritzoin Loimar, Ruach Chochmov HaKoras Eloikus. I will pour out wisdom, a spirit of wisdom, and a recognition of Hashem. The Hakaras, the recognition, Elokus, Eshboich, I will pour out al kol basar, on all flesh. Af al hu'umois. The Mitzvah here learns that does not only refer to the Jewish people, this is an amazing insight, even on the nations of the world, Yakiru, the Yoz Oz, the Yedu, Shehashem hu ho Elokim. V'nibu b'neichem uv'noseichem lo'i k'moy b'mei ha'goyla she'nedra ha'nevua mi'yisrael. Not like in the days of Golus when Nevu was withheld from the Jewish people. Ki oz yinabu b'neichem uv'noseichem. In those days, there'll be prophecy. Ki im ha'ovois lo hayu. Ki im ki ha'ovois lo hayu nevi'im. Because im ki ha'ovois lo hayu. Because in the past, even the Ovois were not prophets. And now, in the time of Moshiach, not only will your parents be prophets, even the children, they also will be prophets. Okay, going further on the next page, page 247, on the very, very bottom, on the right side, Chaloimos, so it says that the Zikenim will have dreams. Chaloimos, Yachaloimun, Ritzoyne Loimar, Chaloim Nivui. This does not just mean a dream. I had a dream. Okay, it's not referring to some type of expression. This refers to the real deal, refers to prophecy. Chezyoinois Yiru, and it says that the young men will have a Chezyoinois. Gam hu inyan mare nevua. The mitzudos obviously here is not going into the protim. Pasuk beis eshbech esruchi ruach chochmo l'das es Hashem. I'll pour out the wisdom to know Hashem. Okay, and then let's go to the next page. The next page, page 248. And Hashem says in times of Shul it's going to be three things. Dom vo'esh v'simrois oshon. In these days is the Milchemes Goig Umogoig. Much blood will be spilled. The Yomar Ze Al Goig Umogoig Bo'esh Min Hashemayim Teirid Olav Esh K'moshe Nemar V'Nishpatiti Itoy B'Dever U'Vidom Esh V'Gofris Antir Olav Upon Goig. Hashem says, I will go to war. We learned this in Yecheskel. I will judge him with a famine, a bedever is a plague, and blood, and fire, and sulfur I will rain down upon the king of Goig. The Simrois Oshon, Eshen Hasreifa, the smoke of fire, Talel Lamala, Zokuf Ilan Tamar, like a palm tree, a column of smoke. It's very frightening. We did not know what this meant until when? Until we saw that mushroom cloud. That is synonymous, which is the symbol of an atomic bomb. An atomic bomb is that pillar of cloud, of smoke, and on top there is that mushroom cloud, just like a palm tree. So there were no atomic bombs in the time of Yoel. And yet Yoel over here is telling us, according to the Parashah of the Mitzvah, when it's looking at the Simrois Oshon, it's referring to a tamar, a palm tree. A palm tree there are no branches, straight, and on the very top is where it branches out. And he's telling us the column of smoke resembles a column that is called the Simrois Oshan. Is that not prophecy? It doesn't say that on top it spread, it just said it went straight up.
In fact, they tried to imitate it from Alexandria, and
they had to bring the experts back. Mala Oshan, the special ingredient called the Mala Oshan, which caused the smoke to go straight up. But in modern times, we know the image, we've all seen the image, and we know what it means, yeah?
Also, I've seen where Simrois Oshan refers to Gehenna.
Yeah. Spiritual type of fire.
Openings in the earth where a column of smoke poured out. Yeah, the Torah talks about that. That Arab shows certain
time. Moisha MS Visoirosoi MS, the place where Korach was buried, Korach died. Okay, but it's very frightening over here. So this idea over here is referring to Melchemes. When we talk about Mitzvah, we talk about Yitzi in the Haggadah. Dom vo'esh v'simrois oshan. So we think about Egypt. So we don't. They were moivsim. We know that it was dom. There was makas b'chayrois vo'esh. We think back in ancient times what this could have meant. And when we talk about there was columns of smoke, I mean, I never really thought about it. What exactly does that mean? In Tom B'Tzias Mitzrayim, there was simrois oshan. But here we learn Yoel. And we're borrowing from what happened in the time of Mitzrayim. And we're saying that this will repeat itself in times of Yimos HaMashiach, and it has not yet happened. And here the Mitzudos adds that we're referring specifically to the Milchemes Goig Umogoig, which we, in our minds, usually associate with, I don't know, World War III, some type of event where the nations of the world are just going to go at each other and who knows what's going to happen. And we think about the modern weapons that we have today. Then the word v'simrois oshan, rachman l'tzlan, means one thing. In our minds, it means nuclear war. And nuclear war, indeed, is what we have etched in our minds, those horrible images of the Simrois Oshan.
It creates a lot of smoke.
No, Hiroshima, when they drop the bomb on Hiroshima, it's a column of smoke, and then on top is like a mushroom. It looks like a mushroom. It looks just like a mushroom.
Very interesting.
You see, you're such a pure, you don't know, you've never watched television.
What's that? This is so interesting.
You don't watch the movies. You don't know what it looks like. The images of nuclear war, the apocalypse. The nuclear bomb, it creates in 1 second. In 1 second, it creates what looks like a palm tree, a white palm tree. The mushroom cloud. Good morning, how are you? So this takes on a whole new meaning when we take this pasuk that we are much more familiar with from the Haggadah and we apply it to Milchemes Goig Umagoig. Okay, let's one more time.
It's interesting now we understand what this Simrois Oshan.
Yeah, I mean, look,
back that didn't have.
So we don't know what it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. In the Talmud Mitzias Mitzrayim, we don't know. We didn't have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
So what is and it was Hakadosh Baruch Hu who brought upon them. Punishment. So we don't really even pay attention. What could it have possibly meant? We use our imagination. There were columns of smoke. It was supernatural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he punished the Egyptians who were 10 makos. Everything was lamalo mi derech hateva. But we know al derech hateva, in nature, we are capable of destroying this world with nuclear weapons, nuclear bombs, which indeed creates this thing, this image called Simrois Oshan. So it takes on a whole new meaning when we can relate to it in modern times. And that's how the Mitzudos David Fataiches this pasuk. He says this is a reference to the future that's not yet happened. It's referring to Milchemes Goig Umagoig, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to destroy him with three different elements: blood, Aish and Simrois Oshan. Right, but the way he describes it, telling us that it's the future and it's Muhammad's going to log, you didn't have to say that. You didn't have to say that. Over here it says it's going to be in the future. When does it mean acharechein? So he says it's referring to Yemois HaMashiach, because it can't refer to the times of Yoel and the Aseres HaShlatim, because these things never happened. We don't find that their children and their sons and their daughters and their slaves, everyone was a prophet. If they were such great tzaddikim, Hashem would not have sent them into exile. The fact that it says these incredible things obviously refers to something that did not happen in his lifetime. It refers to something which has yet to happen in the times of Mashiach. And then we mentioned this milchama called Dom Bo'esh for Simrois Oshan, which he says refers to Milchemes Goig Umagoig, and that creates for us in our minds something very frightening, because we indeed can relate to what this means. Okay, let's go to Rashi on these three psukim. Rashi pasuk aleph says Voya Acharechein. Rashi is the same thing Le'osir Lavoi. We're referring to an event that has not yet happened. Al Kol Basar, Hashem will pour out upon all flesh. Al mi shenasa liboy rach kibosar dugmas minosati lochem leiv bosar. Rashi is much more flavor into this pasuk, perhaps not like the Mitzudos. It does not mean upon mankind. According to the Mitzudos, when it says leiv bosar, it means that every human being, every single human being will merit to be a prophet. Like Kriyas Yamsuf, Ze Keliv Yandeu, Ro'oso Shifcha Shebeyom, Ma Sheloi Ro Yecheskel Ben Buzi. Every living creature saw the Yad Hashem. That's how we would assume the translation of the Pasuk according to the Mitzudos. But that's not the way Rashi learns. Rashi says, let me go back on Rashi. Rashi says, that's what Rashi, go to the Mitzudos. That means even on the Goyim, Al Kol Basar, even on the Umois Ha'olam, even upon the Goyim, even they, Hashem will pour out His Spirit. They will have an appreciation, they will have an awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, even in the days of Mashiach, a person has to earn it. And how does one earn it? He has to humble himself. Al mi shenaso liboy rach kibos, a person that softens his heart Dugmas v'nosati lochem leiv basar Hashem sizek v'shbaruch Hu will help us in humbling us and making opening up our minds to have these revelations. Okay, pasuk gimel.
Is it possible to say that we already experienced the Muhammad Gai Gamagai?
Some make that argument. There are those who there is such an argument made by in Sefer Doniel, the Mefarshim there, probably the Abarbanel will probably sit sitting along those lines. You can't talk about the Holocaust.
Right.
Even before the Holocaust, World War One.
We did see all these things.
Yeah,
you know.
Like I told you, that story was a very powerful story from the Kleisenberger Rebbe. I always think about that story. When he, after the war, he lost 11 children and his wife in the Holocaust. And everything he had was wiped away. He came to America, he remarried, he had 7 more children, he rebuilt Kleisenberg, both here in America and in Eretz Yisrael, in Netanya, and he built a hospital. He was an incredible, incredible person. In fact, as I mentioned, they had a film, there was a Chiloni, he went and he researched the life of the Kleisenberg Rebbe, and he produced a motion picture film, and it was aired in Eretz Yisrael on the major television channels, and a good chunk of the Chilonim saw this film, and there was only high praise for the Kleisenberg Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And in Kleisenberger Rebbe, he was once in a shul. It's a very powerful story. He was once in a shul. Right after the war, he was in the Bronx. He was in a shul. He was in a hospital. There was a shul. He was like the rabbi of a shul in a hospital. And it was either Parshas Kisavai, Parshas Bichukosai. They were laying the Teichecha. And the minig is to lay the Teichecha low. To lay it low and to lay it at a quicker pace. And the Kleisenberger Rebbe started to bang on his shtender to tell the Balkriya to raise his voice. Hecher! Hecher! Louder! And the Balkriya thought maybe he was leaning too low, so he raised his voice. And he kept on banging. Hecher! Hecher! Louder! Basically, he was telling him to scream the Teichecha. So they asked him, "What are you doing? Everyone knows the minig is that you don't lay in the Teichecha low." So he said, "Why do you lay in the Teichecha in a hushed tone? Because you're afraid. Al tiftach peh l'satan." So he said, "We don't have to worry about. We already experienced this. Every single thing that it says in the Teichecha, we had. We experienced. We saw in the Holocaust. There's not one word of the Teichecha that has not been fulfilled upon us. And yet, look where we are today. We're in the Beis HaKnesses. We're davening to Hashem. Everyone here said today, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Everyone has a Emunah Pshuta. So, there's nothing to worry about. If we could have already have experienced the Teichecha, and still show our commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Teichecha for us is a badge of honor." So that fits with what you said, because the Teichecha certainly encompasses Milchemes Goig u'Magog, the most horrifying things, and yet the Kleisenberger Rebbe said already happened. So the Kleisenberger Rebbe really, you said already these things already happened already. So what more? So I don't know the answer. Obviously, so but over here Rashi says there's still whatever it means. It's referring to le'osid lavai pasuk gimel v'simre sashon zikifus ma'lo ashon kegoiva toimer. It means the standing up, a column of smoke that is tall and high like a palm tree. Okay, now, that is Rashi and the Mitzvah. Now let's go do some Radak. Okay, maybe we'll do one pasuk together.
Rashi's scale, tall as a palm tree?
Yeah.
That's kind of a small scale.
No, but he means...
He means the image of or shape of. It just sounds like as tall as...
Well, why is it called Timrei?
The scale doesn't sound that...
Timrois Oshan. Timrois is Miloshan Tomor. Tzadik Katomor Yifroch. Right? So we use that for it. So a tzaddik is only like a tamar. A tzaddik is a tzaddik yisoid. Well, just an example. Okay, let's see over here the Radak. Radak, Pasuk Aleph on page 245. The Radak is like Mitzudos, like Rashi, referring to Yimos HaMashiach. The Omar Acharechen, why then are we beating around the bush? Why didn't it say the words, why didn't it say explicitly Achar Sayamim? Since it says you will know that I am among the previous pasuk, the end of the last parak says you will know that I am with you. Omar ata teidu v'lo yidia shleima. It's not a complete yidia ki o tashuvu v'sechetu l'fornai aval achare zois hayidia yavo zman zois hayidia yavo zman shteidu oisi yidia shleima. So over here he's explaining as follows. Here he's the Mitzudas is bothered, the Radak is bothered. If we are indeed referring to Yimos HaMashiach, why then didn't Yoel describe Yimos HaMashiach with the word Yimos HaMashiach with the same words that Yeshaya used? In the end of days. He doesn't say that. He says Acharei Chain. So the Radak answers, because this pasuk, we have to still look at this pasuk in the context of the previous two parakim. The previous two parakim were describing the generation of the Aseres HaShvatim, some tekufa, some time period of the Aseres HaShvatim. And after the Aseres HaShvatim, after in the actual event of the locust of that he describes, there was teshuva. It said that in the past parakim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after they recognized that the reason why the locust had come upon them was due to their sins, they did teshuvah. But the teshuvah they've done was incomplete. It was, how do we know it was incomplete? Because not much longer after they were exiled, they went back to their old ways and they were exiled by Sancheriv. So here when it says V'hoya acharechein, it means you're going to do, there's going to be teshuva. But that teshuva is going to be incomplete. Even though it says in the previous pasuk, in the last pasuk, the previous parak, V'datem, ki v'kerev Yisrael oni, you will be aware that there is a creator, Hashem is with us. But that awareness that is predicted by Yoel after the famine was still less than 100%. And that is why, subsequent to that teshuva, they went backwards, and they were punished again. But there's going to be another cycle. And that cycle is going to take place at a much, much later point in time in Yimos HaMashiach, when they'll do a complete teshuva, and then they will merit the ultimate awareness of Hashem, where they will not be nichshol in doing averos again anymore. So that's why we don't want to just say the word v'hoya bi'acharis hayamim. Being that this parak is still connected to the previous parak, and the previous parak mentions that it's going to be a tekufa of teshuva, not every tekufa of teshuva is the same. There are times when we do teshuva and we merit great success, great reward. But unfortunately, it's not 100%. And that opening that's less than 100% is our downfall, causes us to once again continue the vicious cycle of doing averos and being required to do teshuva once again. So here it's referring to acharechein. After this cycle of teshuva, there's going to be another cycle of doing teshuva, which will ultimately lead to the times of Moshiach. That's how he learned the significance of acharechein instead of saying the words acharis hayomim. And what is going to happen in this time? The next words of the Radak are eshbech, taken from the pasuk eshbech hashruchi al kol basar perush biyisrael. Not like the Mitzudos that translates the words basar in reference to even the Umos Olam, kimoi sha'amar b'mokoy macher kol basar ve'einu mikol ba'lechayim el ha'odom levadoi ve'oimer v'yivorech kol basar yovoi kol basar kein peret he'ihena kol basar al Yisrael haru'uyim liyois ruach hakodesh shalayhem. So he's limiting, he says somewhere in between, the Radak's parish is somewhere in between the Mitsudos and Rashi. Mitsudos said it's a given, it's an entitlement of man, even a goy, a non-Jew, to have this ruach of Hashem, whereas the Rashi says, no, you have to earn it. A person has to soften his heart, like Basar. The Radak seems to be saying somewhere in between. The goyim are out. The Jews, yes. Even the Jews who did not work on themselves and soften their heart like Basar, just the fact that you're part of the team, you're part of the club, you are entitled to the benefit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu pouring out upon you His divine spirit.
Right, and then from there, then we could be an Orla Goyim, right?
Correct, correct. From there, we'll inspire the nations. The Yomar called, Ratzoloimar, HaGedoylim V'Aketanim K'may Sh'omar Ki Chulom Yedu Oisi L'mik Tanom V'Ad Gedoylam in Yirmiya V'ruchihi Ruach Deyav. What is the Ruach? It's a spirit of knowledge. The Haskel, understanding, K'may Sh'omar V'Noch Olav Ruach Hashem. That's referring to the Melech HaMashiach. The Achach Perash. Now we go into the specifics. Ruach Chochem, Ruvina, Ruach Eitzel, Gvur, Ruach Das, V'Yiras Hashem. And that passage, recording from Yeshaya, is describing the Midos, the sixth Midos of the Melech HaMashiach. Okay, next, Umibnei. Now we turn the page to page 247. Umibnei sheyizdakech sichlam yigbar b'miksasam kwech hadibur. Hadiberi, ad sheyisnabu. Lo ki loy amar ki kulam yisnabu elo v'nibu b'neichem uv'nasechem uv'shvichus haruach amar al kol basar. When it comes to pouring out Hashem's spirit, it says the word kol. But when it comes to prophecy, nibu b'neichem uv'nasechem, it does not say the word kol. Everyone will be endowed with a spirit of knowledge, but not everyone will merit the higher level of actual prophecy. Al benavu leymar kol el benibu benechem unosechem v'yama zik zik ziknechem bachurechem loy kul. Not everyone who al derech shakasav akachacham agodl harav rabbeinu Moshe ben Rabbi Maimon. What the Rambam writes, Sal in bar nevuchim ki loy tzav aladam hanevu avafilu im hahis landus elo imkin kodam loy teva beis hayitziva. This goes back to something we learn in the Sefer Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is the first Haftorah of the Gimel Di Paranusa. It's the Haftorah for the first week of the first of the 3 weeks. And what does it say? It's a very powerful. You said the Rambam learns from that pasuk all of the rules of prophecy. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, the Terem Yitzircha, before you were formed, I already knew you. I knew about you. Yirmiyah was destined to be a prophet even before the moment of conception. A prophet, the Rambam learns, is not something that you can earn. It's not like America. In America, you can be whatever you want to be. There's nothing holding a person back from being whatever you can be. Anyone has the opportunity in America to be a doctor, a lawyer, a politician, even the president of the United States. There's nothing that is withheld from a person. This is the Baruch of America. You can be whatever you want to be. There is absolutely no limitation. Unfortunately, this is a beautiful idea, but as a religious Jew, it's very challenging. Because when the culture of America seeps into our blood, and then we look at our religion, Ayados, so people feel very frustrated. I want to be a Kohen. I want to be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. I want there to be a Beis HaMikdash. And I want that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, I want to serve in the Beis HaMikdash and have the opportunity to be a candidate to be the Kohen Gadol. I want to be the Melech HaMashiach. I want to be the Melech. I want to be women have in America. It's a very challenging thing. Women have full rights. So an Orthodox Jewish woman has, it seeps into her essence, her being, living in this country. Why should religion be any different? Why don't I have the same opportunities as men? To daven for the Amma, to lane, to go to the Kaisel. Where does all this come from? Where does it come from today, the people challenging tradition? It comes from society. Because in society, we are blessed. In society, we're having no limitation in society. That's a tremendous bracha. No one's denying that. But in Yadus, Hashem did erect boundaries. There are things women cannot do, period. And there's no room to wiggle. There's nothing to talk about. There are things that the Yisraelim cannot do, things that a Levi cannot do, and there's nothing to discuss. And for a person that's a real American, made in America, stamped, made in America, that becomes frustrating. So now here's the chiddush. When it comes to being a prophet, the Rambam learns from Yirmiyah, the psukim, the first psukim in Sefer Yirmiyah, the terem yitzircha yidaticha, Hashem says to Yirmiyah, before you were even conceived, while your neshama was in Shemayim, in its raw state, in its most raw state, you were already predestined to be a prophet. You and not someone else. If you would not do your mission, let's say you would come here into this world and you would fail to do your mission, Hashem says, I can't go take any substitute. I just go, okay, Yirmiyah is not available today, so we'll recruit someone here in the morning kollel to take over. It doesn't work like that. You have to be, your neshama has to have been created for this purpose. What?
But
terem yitzircha.
Yes, but you could say that it applies to him and his particular mission. But why do you have to generalize and say that all Nevi'im have to be pre-selected? We hear of these schools for Nevi'im.
So the schools of Nevi'im were neshamos that were destined. They were created for this purpose, but they need still to be nurtured. Just because the neshama was created for this purpose doesn't mean the moment the neshama comes into this world, he's a prophet. It has to be nurtured and trained and developed. I'm not saying this. The Rambam is saying this. The Rambam is saying a tremendous chiddush that a prophet is not something you can just become.
Are those that argue?
I don't know. The pasuk that Yirmiyah is a very powerful pasuk. The terem yitzircha yidaticha. Obviously, the Rambam is learning that as the prototype, as all prophets, and they're madrega, and he writes it over here. Look over here. One more time, words over here. That's why he says, it does not say the word koil, like it says in regard to the eshbach. Hashem will pour out a deya and haskel al kol bosar. When it comes to prophecy, the word koil is absent. Why? This is an unbelievable yesod. This is mamish, a principle of Yadus. We have the Ani Mamins. We have two of the Ani Mamins tell us about prophecy. And this is telling us over here, mamish, a fundamental principle in a prophet. You can't become a prophet if you are not destined to be a prophet. It doesn't work like that. It's either this is your destiny or it's not. No such thing as a career change. Middle of life, I don't want to be a doctor anymore. Now it's time for a career change. I'm going to become a rabbi. It doesn't work like that. It's either you're meant to be or you're not meant to be. Ki loy savoy la'odam hanavua de'afilu im ha'hislamdus. Even if you have a post-doctorate, it's not going to work in prophecy. What?
How did they know they were meant to be a prophet?
Obviously, they knew, because we don't even know what a prophet is. We're so far removed from what is this ability to communicate with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. It's so far removed from us, so we don't even know the alphabet. But obviously, a neshama that was meant to be a prophet knew. There was a certain sense, a certain feeling, a sensation, an awareness that he had. And they went to prophet school. We go to Eliyahu and Elisha. They had the first yeshivas. They had a yeshiva for the B'nai HaNevi'im. They train prophets.
But those
that were meant to be. Those are people that knew that their neshamas were created for that purpose, and they were nurtured to bring out their tafkid.
Some people know other people who would be prophets. I mean, could they?
I don't know. Maybe you can sense that this person who's not a prophet has the ability to sense you're meant to be a prophet. Parent.
That's the prophet himself being able to tell.
Okay, maybe there is something to it. Okay, but that person who has that sense is not himself a prophet. Hashem gave him a special gift or a purpose to recognize who should be nurtured, who you should invest in. Okay, who is it worthy to send off to a Navi school.
The
Afilu Ima Haslamus, Ella in Cain.
Elion
Elisha, he went and he selected certain people, that's correct. Ella in Cain, Kodam Loiteva Be'esa Yitzira, there has to be some type of nature, Be'esa Yitzira, Be'habonim, Vihabonois, Yisnabu Be'narusam, Kemo Shmuel Hanavi. We find, for example, Shmuel. Shmuel was 2 years old when his mother brought him to Eli HaKoyen. And immediately he began to give up a prophecy. And the rule be to them in a dream. And then it says the word Chez Yoinois. The Chain Hois and the Vos Rav Hanavim, Kamosh Omar, Im Yiye Niziachem Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, Bamar O. A love esvado. If a person, if there will be amongst Klal Yisrael prophets, Hashem appears to them. Bachaloyim, Adav Eboy, and then Hashem. But Moshe Loichein Moshe, Moshe, I speak to, not in a dream. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique among the prophets. Moshe Rabbeinu, I speak to him when he is awake. Okay. V'chein Yu Bohem Maaloy Zel Maalum Zek Moshe Yivamvim Moshe Avu Ach Ula Yeh Bohem Kim Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashaloyim. The highest level of prophecy is Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, he gets his own separate principle of faith. Among the 13 animamins, 12 of them are the basics, and one is a special animamin just to recognize that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNevim, which is an incredible chiddush, why the Rambam has to divide the prophecy into two parts. One of the 13, we have to believe in prophets. So we would think, okay, so among the group of prophets, there are many madregos. And who is Bereisham? Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says, no, there are two different principles. You have to separate them. One is a requirement to believe in the prophets. Number two, a separate principle is to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Av HaNevim, in a class by himself. And if you combine that idea with what we just learned here in the Radak, from the Rambam himself, that has to mean that Moshe Rabbeinu's destiny from before he was created is fundamentally different than the destiny of the neshamos of the other prophets. Since one of the basic principles of a prophecy is that you have to be selected, you have to be chosen, you have to be created for this purpose itself. So what does that mean? It means that Moshe Rabbeinu's creation in the Olam HaNeshamas was in the league by itself. Since Moshe Rabbeinu being the Av HaNevim is a separate principle in the Ani Mamins, he being meant for this purpose, even before he was created, is in a whole different level.
You think that it wasn't where he reached that madriga? It was...
No, it's both. It has to be both. You have this potential. The neshama, yeah. The neshama is ready for it. But it doesn't happen by itself. You have to work to get there.
Yeah.
A person that's not meant, it's not meant to be, no matter how hard he works, he'll get nowhere. That's what the Radak said. If it'll be hislamdos, even if you'll devote your entire life attempting to become a prophet, you're not going to get there. You're going to get nowhere. You'll be a Talmud Chacham, you'll be a good person, but you're not going to become a prophet because it has to be, this is the Rambam, it's a chiddush. The Rambam is saying it's not something a person can do unless his neshama was created specifically for this purpose. Like Yirmiyah, B'terem yitzircha yidaticha. Before I created you, I already knew about you. Your neshama in the olam ha-neshamas was meant for this purpose. And that teaches us, I'm saying that was a chiddush, but it teaches us is that Moshe Rabbeinu's creation, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama, it was in a different plane than the creation of the neshamas of other members of Klal Yisrael, of other prophets in Klal Yisrael, because since the Rambam breaks the two into two different parts, and the Rambam also tells us this incredible principle is that the average Joe, no matter how hard he tries, is not going to succeed. So that means that Moshe Rabbeinu's level of where he came to was meant to be before he was even created.
That's why he could not nurse from a Goyish woman.
Vayelech, exactly. Vayelech, look how the Torah describes him. Vayelech ish mi beis levi vayikach es bas levi. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, Vatar Yishava, Vatera Oisoi, Kitoivu. What does it mean, Kitoivu? We're dealing with a different neshama. We're dealing with someone in an entirely different madrega, which is beyond. I mean, this Radak, it's very powerful. It's opening up to appreciate what he's saying, opening up a whole new concept. You know, after I leave here, I go to a koil in the afternoon, in a Rosh Shmirman Shul, and there the Rosh Koil is Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rav Simcha Soloveitchik, and he, one of his big topics is Nevuas Moshe. He spent his whole life on this. He loves this topic, the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu, Nevuas Moshe. It's one of his big things to delve into the mysteries of how Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is different and unique relative to all the other prophets. And there's a lot to be said about it. And here you have another piece of this puzzle. Yeah.
Yerachayim points out, I was reading it, he says, until Klal Yisrael saw Moshe, Hashem taught Moshe, then as seen at Sinai, they didn't see him as a Navi. In fact, we say, Vayimid HaShem, Moshe Avdi, he's an Eber Hashem. And they thought, even the things that he did, this is Yerachayim, he's saying,
who's saying this? The Yerachayim.
He said, the people got the truth, the people didn't see that you're not there. Until then, they just thought, I will got all things you did in the tribe. They thought, okay, Hashem is going to test them, he's treating them nicely, Shem Grace, he's doing all these things. But another, he didn't have the foul status of the beings. Their eyes, until the mamash, they saw.
Vayaminu b'Hashem u'kriyas yamsof. It took time, they didn't appreciate who he was. It took time. It took time to appreciate who he was. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's go pasuk base.
The moment that Basram, Basparei, touched him, and he had to go through 80 years. He had to wait 80 years until Hashem.
Because she touched him.
Right, he had to go through cleansing.
Because she came in contact. 3 years. Wow. Who says this?
The Zohar Kaddish.
That's why there was delay. Yeah, he couldn't be the Goyal. Because she handled him. Wow. Okay, very deep. Very, very deep. Okay, Pasuk Beis in the Radak. The Gamal who avodim, Kamei Shomar, V'yomdu zorim v'rot soynchem v'bnei necho ikor reichem v'chor meichem. So this is a beautiful, deep, this is the Radak. This is a brilliant, brilliant connection. If not the Radak, you would never, an ordinary person, I would have the chochmah to say such a thing. We have the famous Pasuk in Yeshaya. It talks about Yimos HaMashiach, and it says there that strangers will pasture your sheep. And Goyim uvnei nechar, they will be your farmers, and they will tend to your vineyard. The Radak says that Pasuk in Yeshaya parallels the Pasuk over here. It says the Avodim, the slaves, and your maidservants, they will also be endowed with a Ruach Hashem. Who are the slaves? Who are the maidservants? It's what Yeshaya was referring to. The farmers and your shepherds and the people that take care of your vineyards. You see, the prophecies of all of the Nevi'im are all referring to the same moment in time. It's, however, each one has a different vocabulary and a different way of expressing what they see. And the only way to get a full picture of Yimos HaMashiach is to take the prophecies of all of the Nevi'im together and to synthesize them, to synthesize them and put each layer one upon the other, then you get a fuller appreciation of what we are referring to. So it's really amazing. Everyone knows that pasuk in Yeshaya. That in Yimos HaMashiach, the goyim, they're going to be... We think they're voluntarily serve us, but there's more to it. The goyim, they're going to be our shepherds. They're going to be the farmers. And here it tells us, these goyim, they're our slaves. And we're calling them now. I told you when we started, we didn't even, as an Evid Ivri, Evid Kanani. We're just getting to the Radak, and there are many Perushim. We're dealing with an Evid Ivri, Evid Kanani. So here we're dealing with Evid Kanani. We're dealing with goyim, non-Jews. And they're total non-Jews, the complete. No, they're not just non-Jews. They're avodim kenanim lemay nafkamina. An eved kenani has a bris milah. An eved kenani has been put into the mikvah. An eved kenani is chayiv in mitzvois kinoshim. When they shepherd the sheep on Shabbos, they're closed. There's no farming on Shabbos. You learn Yeshaya. No, the goyim, they're our shepherds, so they can do whatever they want. They can do it on Shabbos, they can do it on Yom Tov. They're goyim. They're not mechuyev in mitzvahs. No. Radak says, don't take that pasuk independently. You have to connect it to Yoel. They're avodim. And avodim stamazoy means avodim kenanim. Shvachos kenanios, which means they're chayev in mitzvahs. They have tvilo. Ad kedei kach, this you would never say, they have ruach hakodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon them, has poured down upon them, divine wisdom. That's a chiddush. What? Shivcha Shebiyam. So look, is that? Oh, very good. Excellent question. I don't know.
So this is the answer.
So over here you have the same idea, that the Shivcha means, it could be the Erev Rav, they were Goyim, who converted, or maybe they did not convert. I mean, they were like a Shivcha Kenanis. A shivcha kenanis is chayvim mitzvahs. She goes to mikvah. She's chayvim mitzvahs. And when they're freed, when they go free, they become full-fledged Jews, 100%. They can marry even into Klal Yisrael. It's a different type of slave. So it's very, very fascinating. He makes this connection. And it says over here, not only that, it says, v'gam oysam lufi shayamdu bi eretz yisrael, since they're going to live in Eretz Yisrael, the Yavu Es Yisrael, they're going to serve the Jewish people. Tia lochem ruach deyav haskel. A goy, isn't this unbelievable? A goy living in Eretz Yisrael begets nevuah, fringe benefits. What's the benefit of a goy living, being an Israeli citizen? It's Israeli. What's the benefit of living in Eretz Yisrael? Ruach HaKodesh. Wow, that's priceless. Okay. To be living with the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, could you imagine? The inyan shvichas haruach roitzel loymar shetia bohem haruach leroy kiin har. Now here he describes this very, very fascinating idea. This itself is worth a whole shiur. What does it mean that Hashem pours spirit? Spirit ruach is not a liquid. The word shvicha is a word, a verb you use in reference to a liquid. Ruach HaKodesh, knowledge. Shefoich, verse is excellent. So there's also the question, what does it mean there? Shefoich, pour out your anger. How do we take the word to pour and apply it to anger and apply it to wisdom? Wisdom is something that you pour, it moves, it's subject to gravity. Something that you pour, you have to make use of gravity. Because when you pour something, it goes to the lowest place. So what does this mean? V'in shvicha seruach rotzal loymar shetia bohem haruach leroyv k'in hashvicha abundance v'chein amar v'shafachti al beis David v'al yoshev Yerushalayim ruach chein v'sachim. Another pasuk. He's not really giving us much. All he's saying here is shvicha has a connotation of abundance. When you pour something, you generally pour things. I don't know why that's necessarily true. You pour. You have a small amount. Let's say there's a scarcity. There's a shortage. You don't pour it. You have a shortage of gasoline, so you don't pour it from one container to another container. I don't know why, but he's saying that generally enough, when the word shefichah is used, it's used in the context against the backdrop of an object, of a commodity that is found in abundance without limitation.
Yeah, because you pour it, you know.
Okay, but technically you pour things that are very rare also.
But you say it in English, you have a rain and a pouring rain.
A pouring rain. So a pouring rain has a connotation, is in abundance. Okay, so it's a general idea. It's very similar to that. Generally, it's used in the context of abundance. And that's why we borrow this term, to teach you that it will be everywhere. Ruach HaKodesh is something which is all over the place. It's going to be a special time where Hashem's presence will be felt all over the world. I thought it meant pouring. I wanted to say that pouring has a connotation of gravity. When you pour something, where does it go? It's going to go to the lowest place. Because that if you have an object, if you have a solid, and I let go, okay, so where is it going to fall? It can't necessarily fall to the floor because it's trapped. Its size, something which is very, very large, is trapped. It's trapped where it is. Because it can't go through little holes. If you have a liquid, when it rains, okay, when it rains, it's going to come into the house. If there's the smallest little opening, it's going to get there. It's going to get there. Why? Because that's the nature of a liquid. It has a connotation. It goes to the lowest place. What is the lowest? What does lowliness refer to? Humility. Humility. Upon whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestow prophecy? Upon the humble. Moshe v'ho'ish Moshe anav me'oid mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ho'adama. And that is why Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNevim. It goes hand in hand. To merit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ruach of prophecy come to you, the lower you are, the prophecy goes all the way to the lowest part, because prophecy is described in the terms of shficha, of a liquid being poured, and so the liquid being poured goes to the lowest place. So the lower you make yourself, the more prone you are, the more you're setting yourself up to be the recipient of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirit. So therefore, that's why it used the word shficha in reference to the Ruach Hashem and the Ruach of prophecy. I want to show one more.
The word "shvoch," used the English translation to apply.
What?
Use the English translation to apply something.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be a definition of shvoch.
Okay, I mean, that's a civil translation. Yeah, but we're trying to uncover something a little bit deeper. Okay, there's a very long radak. We'll have to wait for the radak tomorrow. Wait for pasul gimel. We'll do a mirza shem pasul gimel tomorrow in the radak. We'll stop here. It's two hands. Shvicha, you're right. It doesn't say, you're right. Okay, after, I don't know.